All of the quarter-final first legs in the UEFA Champions League are now complete. In a snowy Munich, it was the ice-cold finishing of Kylian Mbappe that saw off the European champions.
Mbappe latching onto a ball. He's outside the area now. One-on-one with his man. Mbappe delays, shoots and scores! Absolutely magnificent from Mbappe! What a game! What a goal!
And in Seville, Chelsea put in another away masterclass to take control of their tie against Porto.
Opportunity for Chelsea to break forward. Chilwell's got half a yard here. He's round the keeper. Can he finish? Of course he can! Brilliantly done! Smash and grab from Chilwell to get Chelsea second in the 85th minute here.
We'll dissect those two games and look ahead to all of next week's second legs on the UEFA Champions League podcast. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to reflect on all of Wednesday night's action. I'm joined by commentators Mark Scott and Dan Roebuck. Hello, gents. And we have the former Tottenham captain, Jenna Scalacci, with us too. Jenna, what a pulsating game in Munich.
It really was. I mean, we had a PSG side who were devastating on attack. They took their chances. They didn't have near as many chances as Bayern did. But the difference between the two teams on the night was that they were clinical, they took their chances, and they come away with a win.
They certainly did. Okay, time for our three-word match reports to get things going. Mark Scott was watching Bayern Paris Saint-Germain.
Kayla, Killian, quality.
Not bad at all. I like that, Mark. And Dan Roebuck was watching Porto versus Chelsea.
Chelsea's charge continues.
Okay, gents, not bad work at all. Well, let's start in Germany then, where reigning champions Bayern took on the team they defeated in last season's final, Paris Saint-Germain.
Now it's Paris coming forwards with Neymar surging through the centre. Chance here for Mbappe, and Paris lead. What a start to the game. And it's Kylian Mbappe who has blasted the visitors in front in the snow in Munich. Floated balls for Marquinhos. He slotted it away and Paris have a second. Well, how about this? The UEFA Champions League holders trail by 2-0 on home turf with less than half an hour played. And it's Marquinhos with the latest goal for Paris. In it goes from Pavard, yeah! And they have won. And it is Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting with a bullet header from 6 metres out. And wouldn't you just know it, the former Paris man on target to bring Bayern right back into the mix. Bayern 1, Paris 2. And it goes from Kimmich, Müller's header, 2-2! Bayern back level! That is the class of champions! And Thomas Müller has ensured that from 2 down, the holders are all square at 2-2. Mbappe latching onto a ball, he's outside the area now, one-on-one with his man. Mbappe delays, shoots and scores! Absolutely magnificent from Mbappe! And Paris are back in front! What a game! What a goal! Bayern 2, Paris 3!
Well, Jenna and Mark were on commentary. Mark, that was quite fun, that game.
Lots of fun for us watching. Not sure what the head coaches will have made of it, but it was befitting these two juggernauts of the game. You know, it was a bit of a cagey chess game affair when they met in the showpiece last season, but a completely different story this time around. Real end-to-end stuff, tactically intriguing, some fabulous goals as well, and really high energy throughout. It was a fabulous watch.
Jenna, your thoughts as well on Kylian Mbappe, because, I mean, every single match day in the Champions League, he just seems to deliver for Paris Saint-Germain.
He does. He's just top quality. He's one of the best in the world and still so young. He doesn't need a lot of chances because the chances he does get, he puts them away. And he's just an absolute nightmare to play against. I mean, we saw him the whole night just hanging on the defender's shoulders, really trying to take advantage of the high line that Bayern like to play.
And we look at the stats as well, Mark. It was in truth, domination from Bayern for large spells. 64% of the ball, 31 shots, 12 on target, to Paris Saint-Germain, 6 shots and 5 on target. I mean, it could have been far different scoreline tonight.
Absolutely, could have been. Kaylor Navas played his part. As I've said, you know, Robert Lewandowski's absence will be looked at. Would they have put away some of those attempts, even a couple more, if Lewandowski had been available? I'm sure they probably would have done, but that's what happens in football. You have to make do when some of your top players aren't there. I guess, Jenna, you know, when you get into the dressing room after a game like that, what are you thinking? Are you sort of, you know, down in the dumps, or are you saying, look, we can win this second leg because look how many chances we had?
Yeah, of course, this is only the first leg. There's a long way to go. The quality within their team, they'll be really disappointed with the amount of chances they have wasted, I think, tonight. But no, they'll go away from this and they'll build on it. And sometimes results like this, they do bring out the best in teams, and it might be a big wake-up call. But I think full credit to Paris and their defensive. They were so compact, and towards the end, they had to defend with their lives, and they did it successfully.
Keylor Navas with 10 saves on the night. Paris midfielder Julian Draxler was pleased to have got the win.
Yeah, it was really hard work from the whole team. I think we saw what a great team they have. Always dangerous for us, was very hard to defend, and in the end we have a lot of quality in our attack, and that's why we scored 3 goals, and finally we could take the win.
I suppose what would be pleasing, Jenna, is that Paris have managed to get the result, and we know obviously Bayern were without Lewandowski, but without Paredes, without Florenzi, and without Verratti tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Without those players, you know, they're their creative players in midfield. So you did wonder, you know, how that might affect the team. But with the quality of Neymar, Di Maria and Mbappe, I don't think it was a real big worry, because they can punish anyone, you know. And on their day, when they click like they have done tonight, like we saw them do against Barcelona in the first leg, they can beat anyone.
I think that, you know, some of the concern for Hansi Flick will be defensively, Bayern looked fallible once again. Yes, they did dominate, as you said, Rob. They had so many chances. Keylor Navas was absolutely fantastic between the sticks for Paris. But Bayern, who were under the cosh against Leipzig, have not been watertight defensively this season, looked very, very susceptible to when Paris were hitting on the counter. And we're going to see more of that in the second leg. So work to do, both in terms of taking their chances, but also trying to shore things up at the back, especially when it came to the pace that Paris showed, because certain opportunities, Nicolas Zula was struggling. Boateng for the third goal for Paris was caught by the pace of Mbappe. That'll be a concern that they need to work on.
And Mark, it was a game full of injuries. I mean, there was we saw lots of changes in that first half, which was unusual.
It's like us playing five-a-side. I think maybe the conditions, you know, myself and Jenna were saying, you know, the snow was coming down all evening. It was 0 degrees in Munich as well. And given the workload that the players have had, some have been on international duty as well. It's been a very, very hectic period. And I guess the nature of the game, Jenna, it was so energetic. It was so frenetic. Maybe that is why we saw quite a few of them pull up.
I think it was. I mean, it was real end-to-end stuff. And, you know, I think the game plans for both teams were kind of out the window when they were forced into making these substitutions in the first half. But, yeah, I think, you know, that the amount of exhaustion from their bodies in a match like tonight, where it is constantly end-to-end, Paris were under so much pressure towards the end as well, and then getting out and tracking the markers. And I definitely think that has a real part to play in so many injuries tonight.
Well, we only get the best reaction for you on Match Day Live. Here's the match winner, Kylian Mbappe.
It was a difficult game against maybe, and I'm sure, the best team in Europe right now. We play well, like a team, but it was hard. But it's only the first game. We have another game at home. We have to be confident, but not too much, and play like we play today, like a team.
8 goals in 8 games for Kylian Mbappe in the UEFA Champions League. Got a hat-trick, of course, away at Barcelona in the previous round. It's 5-2 on the road in the UEFA Champions League. Mark, who will be out? Did Paris pick up a yellow card of note? I think Idrissa Gunagay.
That's right. He's out of the return leg. And obviously, one of the big, you know, you mentioned the injuries, Marquinhos. I mean, how serious is that problem for him? Because for Thomas Müller's goal, you just wonder if Marquinhos had been there, would Müller have been able to get that header in? He's such a key man, the captain for Paris. We know that they're missing a couple of very important players for them already. Paredes and Verratti unavailable this evening. So given the fact that it's such a quick turnaround, it's only Tuesday for the second leg of this game. They'll be trying to find out the news on that front as soon as possible. But Gay is suspended, yes.
You'd have thought Bayern would love those extra 2 days. So they would have played maybe yesterday, especially with Lewandowski out.
Yes.
And I don't know if they've been clear I think Bayern were not being exactly clear about whether he could play in the second leg.
No, I think that, you know, they know that he's got these remarkable recovery strengths that might mean he can get back to business sooner rather than later. But they were being a bit cagey about it. But you would have thought now there'll be even more urgency about whether or not they can hurry him back.
Yeah, Serge Gnabry, of course, has been in isolation as well after testing positive for COVID-19. Jenna, finally on this for now, from what you've seen, do you still think Bayern have a chance of turning this around in the French capital?
Yeah, 100%. You can't write them off. The amount of chances that they've created, on another night, some of them would have gone in. So I definitely would not write them off at all.
Joshua Kimmich, by the way, on chances created, made 10 opportunities. That's the most by a player in a single Champions League game at the quarterfinal stage or later since Mesut Ozil for Real Madrid against Spurs a decade ago. OK, more from Mark and Jenna to come on Match Day Live this evening. Let's turn our attention to the other game in Seville. Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea look to continue their strong run in this competition against Porto.
Otavio with a corner, more orthodox this one. Curled in, pushed away by Mendy. And then the follow-up is over the crossbar from Zaidu. Well, that was an opportunity for Porto. They didn't quite take it. Central position, 30 yards away. Brilliant turn here. Mount can get the shot away. Into the corner. Perfectly done. That is something special from Chelsea's man of the moment, Mason Mount. Wonderful turn and move out into the corner. But Cheetham was beaten. Porto nil, Chelsea won. Outswinger this time around is towards Pepe with a header. Pushed away by Mendy. Well, that was goal-bound by the veteran. Down the line for Marega, who might get in here. He's got plenty of pace. It's Marega to finish. Really good start from Mendy. Opportunity for Chelsea to break forward. Chilwell's got half a yard here. He's round the keeper. Can he finish? Of course he can. Brilliantly done. Smash and grab from Chilwell to get Chelsea second in the 85th minute here. A mistake at the back. Porto lose possession. And the left wing back was on it like a flash and raced forward towards Augustin Murchison's goal. Took it around the keeper and from close range could not miss. And Chelsea lead by two.
So 2-0 the win for Chelsea. Away from home, the game being played in Seville, almost a neutral venue, but Chelsea were the away side. It's all to do with COVID travel restrictions. They'll meet there again. Mason Mount, by the way, with his fifth goal under Thomas Tuchel, but his first ever in the Champions League.
Well, I've been waiting patiently, but it's a good time for it to come. Good pass by Georgie, and then I just had a bit of space, so I just hit it after my first touch, and yeah, it went in, so obviously I was very happy with that. And then obviously it took us in at half time 1-0 up in a good position. We knew how big this game was going to be, and it was going to be tough, so we come into the game with full focus, 100% commitment that we was going to win and give it our everything, and I felt like we did that tonight.
Dan Roebuck was on commentary for this one. Dan, a great night for him and fellow in England international Ben Chilwell.
Yeah, just a word on Ben Chilwell as well, because he made his Champions League debut against Porto when a Leicester player. It was only his fifth appearance. I think he was 19 at the time. And he was on the wrong end of a 5-0 scoreline against Porto, and he was yellow carded in the match as well. And we all know what a really good player he's developed into for club and country. And he took his goal really well. Mason Mount, as we've talked about, I mean, he's such a fantastic player. And every single challenge that's put in front of him, he seems to rise to it. And his goal, as you've seen, is something special. Great turn. And it's just the whole movement of his body. And he takes the shot on so early. And Murchison just couldn't stop it. Chelsea were efficient. I thought they didn't have as many chances as Porto will look back and think, well, we had 8 opportunities in the first half. We had twice as many attempts at goal as Chelsea did over the course of the 90 minutes. But they did not take their chances, and Chelsea did. And that can be the difference at UEFA Champions League level, as we know.
First time that Chelsea have had 2 English scorers in a Champions League game since March 2012. That game, a 4-1 win against Napoli. The first game under Di Matteo after the sacking of Villas-Boas, John Terry and Frank Lampard, the scorers, that day. From a Porto point of view, Dan, how much was it a factor that they did not have their two top scorers, Mehdi Taremi and Sergio Oliveira?
It was huge, because we know what a good player Sergio Oliveira is and what an influential player he is and what a great season he's had when it comes to scoring goals. And they didn't seem to have that threat from midfield without him. Grealish came in. He's not really a goal scorer. He's on loan from Liverpool at the moment. He did okay, but he doesn't offer the threat going forward. And you mentioned Taremi as well, who scored 9 goals in the Portuguese top division this season. Those were players that potentially could have netted those chances that Porto did create. So it could well be different in the second leg, but Chelsea are going to be so full of confidence with those 2 goals and a clean sheet as well, let's not forget. And Edouard Mendy with a 10th clean sheet in all competitions since Thomas Tuchel took over at Chelsea in late January. That's more than any other keeper across the top 5 divisions in Europe. So they're creating chances, they're being efficient up top, and they're being pretty good at the back as well.
Yeah, what a signing he has proved to be for Chelsea, the reassurance they've needed between the posts. You mentioned in there, by the way, let's hear from Marco Grealish, who was disappointed with the loss.
It's hard to come second half to play against team who has result. They kept the ball well. We had some chances, especially in the first half. We showed that we can play against them, that we have the same quality, and we have to prepare in 6 days the same pitch. We have to give our best to come back.
Yeah, you imagine Grealish would not start the second leg with Sergio Oliveira due back for Porto. I suspect, Dan, you'd be feeling that it's more likely Bayern are going to turn around their tie than Porto would turn around this game against Chelsea.
It's going to be very difficult for Porto. I can't really see them doing it. Thomas Tuchel will potentially set his side up a little bit differently. Towards the end of the game, he went a little more defensive. Conte came on, Thiago Silva did as well. And he has got that squad depth. And this is what we find out at this stage of a UEFA Champions League season. If you do pick up suspensions and injuries, and obviously you've talked about Robert Lewandowski missing for Bayern Munich, we've talked about the players missing for Porto. Well, Chelsea have got a clean bill of health at the moment. We did see Antonio Rudiger pull up right at the end of the game, but generally they have got players to come into nearly every single position. They made 5 changes from that West Brom defeat the weekend, and that could be key, not just for the second leg, but going forward. It's a congested season. All of the league started a little later. A number of the top flights that had winter breaks did not have them, or they had shorter winter breaks. Our English Premier League sides, are Chelsea well positioned to maybe take advantage of that? It's the small margins that we talk about in football, and that could just be the key if you've got that full squad strength.
Chelsea go to Crystal Palace in the Premier League at the weekend. They also have Manchester City later this month in the FA Cup semi-final. Dan, I know you've seen a lot of Chelsea. How different, and the West Brom result feels like a big anomaly, but how different stylistically and in terms of confidence and everything is the Tuchel Chelsea to the Frank Lampard Chelsea that we saw this season?
Well, I think that Thomas Tuchel plays to a game plan, and he plays the same way. He plays pretty much the same formation every single game. He always plays 3 at the back. It's nearly always 3-4-3. It's a variation of that. Frank Lampard, I think, was caught in two minds on a number of occasions. He switched his formations around, and he did rely on youth an awful lot. When we saw Thomas Tuchel first come in to Chelsea, straight away Marcus Alonso is back in the side, and Mason Mount fell out of the side for the first game. That didn't last very long, but he's got trust in some senior players, and I think that they've got trust in him. What we've seen in dressing rooms over the years is that players will look to the likes of Thomas Tuchel and they will believe in him. He went so close with Paris last season in the UEFA Champions League. He won the Ligue 1 crown and was much decorated, of course, in France. He won a German Cup with Borussia Dortmund. He effectively is more proven than Frank Lampard. And I think some senior players may well have questioned Frank Lampard, not so much the younger players, because obviously he brought them through, but you get immediate respect from a coach who is one of the best across the continent. And I think he's brought the confidence back, and he's got players playing exactly what he wants and what they're comfortable with.
The way the draw has gone, by the way, it is not impossible to have a Chelsea-Paris Saint-Germain final, but there's a lot of football to be played before that. Let's hear from the aforementioned Thomas Tuchel, who was pleased with how his team soaked up all that Porto pressure.
There were many moments where we suffered, but we accepted it. Could see that, yeah, it is the circumstances are a bit different if it's a quarter final, if you play last 8 and so on. So, in some moments was a good game. In some moments we suffered and we lacked precision and stuff. But the spirit was good and the result is excellent result.
Thomas Tuchel on Chelsea's win tonight. Okay, just a reminder that when the quarterfinal draw was made for the Champions League a few weeks back, that included the semi-final draw. We know exactly how the competition will pan out. So the winner of Bayern versus Paris will play the winner of Manchester City versus Dortmund. The winner of Real Madrid versus Liverpool will play Porto-Chelsea. So as things stand in the quarterfinals, it will be Paris versus Manchester City and Real Madrid versus Chelsea. That's not a bad semi-final lineup at all. So we've had our first four legs. And a quick reminder of the results, of course. Real Madrid 3, Liverpool 1, Manchester City 2, Borussia Dortmund 1, Bayern 2, Paris Saint-Germain 3, and Porto 0, Chelsea 2. So Jenna, Mark and Dana with me, Rob Daly 2. Have a quick look ahead to next week. I suppose we might as well just switch things up and quickly go to the other games, Mark. Real Madrid 3, Liverpool 1. What do you reckon to that second leg from Liverpool? And do you think that Jurgen Klopp will look to bring, you know, maybe Thiago back into that starting 11, having gone with Keita?
Yeah, and also it's worth bearing in mind the game that Real Madrid have got at the weekend.
Yes, very good point. They play Barcelona in the Clásico. I mean, it's a season-defining week for them, you'd have thought.
Exactly. So they can't afford to, you know, maybe shift things around and prioritise the second leg against Liverpool. They'll need to go full pelt against Barcelona. So you wonder how much that might take out of them. Will Jurgen Klopp be a bit cute? He will know that Liverpool's Premier League hopes of getting into the top four aren't necessarily going to be defined by what they do in this one game coming up at the weekend. So will he shuffle his pack and try to ensure that they're all as fresh as possible for the game at Anfield? It'll be interesting to see his team selection and what he prioritises, but Zinedine Zidane doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah, it's an interesting dilemma that, Mark, on the Villa game for Liverpool at the weekend. Villa 5 points behind them with a game in hand in search of Champions League football. I suppose, given their recent results, Liverpool will now be looking at the top four again and thinking, well, that is still reachable. That qualifying for the Champions League is still possible that way.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, they're only a few games from getting through to the final of the UEFA Champions League again. And I still think if they were to slip up against Aston Villa, the way that top four race is going, it's not all over for them.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he prioritises the Real Madrid game.
Let's hear from Jurgen Klopp, who was speaking after yesterday's game.
The only good thing, really, I can say about the game, apart from that we scored a goal, is that it's only the first half of the leg. We just didn't play good enough football tonight, so to cause Real Madrid more problems. I really thought that would have been possible, but it's now actually hypothetical because we cannot show it tonight anymore. We have to show it the next game. But we made it too easy for them, and that's the main thing.
One of Klopp's former clubs, Borussia Dortmund, came close to getting a draw at Manchester City, Jenna, in that first leg the other night. Do you think Dortmund is still in that tie despite City's extraordinary quality that we've seen in the Premier League this season?
Of course, I think they're definitely still in it, but I can't see Man City slipping up in the second leg. I think they're the team in form, the depth of their squad and their quality, their attacking quality. I just can't see them slipping up in the second game.
Yeah, they've been absolutely blistering of late, Manchester City winning games with ease in the Premier League. Dan, what do you think in terms of City's credentials to win the Champions League? And how much of it do you think it's a psychological thing, the fact they haven't won this competition yet?
It's interesting, isn't it? I thought they were nervous towards the end of the game against Borussia Dortmund. It's one of those intangibles, isn't it? And general, no, being a former player, it's you know, why do City have, or why does Pep Guardiola in charge of City have this mental block maybe at this stage of the UEFA Champions League? Everybody talks about it. You can't put your finger on why they haven't progressed and why they haven't won it previously. They are, though they were rightly favourites, I presume they are still favourites now, heading into that second leg because of that Phil Foden late goal. I think that Borussia Dortmund will have a huge puncher's chance in that second leg. They are 7 points behind Eintracht Frankfurt in the Bundesliga. I don't think they're going to get top four in the German top flight. This is their chance, this is their game, and I fancy them to do it.
Do you, Dan? And what have you, because you covered the Bundesliga a little bit, what have you made of Dortmund and the fact that they've had their struggles domestically this season, but have done it in the Champions League?
It's strange, isn't it? Because when I've seen them play in the Bundesliga this season, they've blown so hot and cold. They've been absolutely brilliant, not just from game to game, but within the same game. I mean, the Klassiker against Bayern München is a case in point when Haaland scores two inside the opening 9 minutes and they get beat 4-2. And this has been the problem. They've only won one of the last six or seven, I think. And they've been excellent in some games, but shocking in others. I don't understand why. They've got so many good players. Obviously, the managerial situation hasn't been great for them. Marco Rosa, who's going to come in for next campaign. Well, Borussia Mönchengladbach have fallen off a cliff, haven't they, since that announcement? So there's all that to add into the mix as well. But in a one-off game where you only need a 1-0 win, I just think that they've got the quality to do it.
Okay, let's go to Bayern Paris next. Jen and Mark, let's play a little game. You have to make opposing arguments for the other team to progress through to the next round of the competition. So, Mark, you can go with Bayern. Why are Bayern going to get past Paris and turn this around in the second leg?
Well, because surely they can't fail to take as many chances as they did this evening and find Kaylor Navas in as inspired form as he was in Munich tonight. They're going to create chances. They had all the opportunities. They've got goals in their side. Even without Robert Lewandowski, they have got goals. So they can go there and score the required amount of goals they need to go through. So that is why I think they still have a chance. They are still, pound for pound, arguably the best team in Europe. I don't know. Without Lewandowski, maybe they do slip down the pecking order behind a Manchester City as a result of that. But look, they still, against Paris, they still had however many shots this evening. So they can create enough opportunities to get the result they need. So that's why they can do it.
And if I even think back to the round of 16, Paris were nervy and wobbly against Barcelona with a 4-1 first leg lead from Barca. And they still had their problems there. Okay, Jenna, why are Paris going through in that quarterfinal tie?
Hey, Paris, that obviously got the free goal cushion. They're clinical in front of goal. Their attacking threat is just frightening off of the left wing, right wing, down the middle. I was actually going to make a call for Bayern.
Oh, Jenna, I'm sorry. I should have gone to you for that.
It's fine, but I'm happy to bat first. But I can see Bayern turning this round in the second leg.
Okay, so Jenna and Mark are both going for Bayern. Dan, I imagine you're seeing Chelsea through now with this 2-0 lead over Porto.
I think that's the one that's the clearest cut of the lot. I mean, you can make a case for all the rest, but I think Chelsea will certainly go through. I cannot see them throwing away a two-goal advantage over Porto from what I've seen tonight.
Chelsea last winners of the competition, of course, in 2012. By the way, Bayern have lost a Champions League match for the first time since March 2019. That was against Liverpool, you may remember, in the round of 16. Since then, in the Champions League, 18 wins and one draw. And that draw, of course, against Atletico, I think, when they were rotating their team. Absolutely extraordinary. OK, let's get players of the night. Mark, from you first of all.
I think Kylian Mbappe was awarded the official award, but I'm going to give it to Kaylor Navas.
Jenna, your player of the match and why as well?
I would go for Navas as well, just because, I mean, he made a lot of saves tonight from point back range. Half of them, I don't think he knew much about them. They were just reaction saves. So for me, definitely Navas. Without him in that goal tonight, it could have been a different scoreline.
OK, and Dan, who was your man of the match from Porto 0, Chelsea 2?
Has to be Mason Mount, one of the great goals of the UEFA Champions League season, I thought. And he's a player that just seems to go from strength to strength. He was one of the main players under Frank Lampard. People wondered what would happen when Thomas Tuchel took over. He seemed to winning round over the course of a week because he's been excellent. He scored more goals under Tuchel than any other Chelsea player. He's scoring for England, and tonight he was the real star for Chelsea. When someone needed to step up for Chelsea, it was Mason Mount who did it.
It certainly seems to be his time right now in a Blues and an England shirt as well. Okay, that is all we have time for this evening. Big thank you to Mark, Jenna and Dan, your panel tonight on Match Day Live. Our live commentary show is back next week on Tuesday the 13th of April from 8 p.m. CET for full coverage of our second legs between Paris and Bayern. Of course, Paris 3-2 up from the first leg in Munich, and Chelsea Porto, they're back in Seville for that one. Chelsea, the home team, 2-0 up from Wednesday's action. And do not forget to download our Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night. Just search for Champions League on your podcast provider and we will be there. But for now, from me and the rest of the Match Day Live team, after a brilliant week of quarterfinal drama, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.